This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, good morning. This is Arvind Yuvaraj, and you are tuned in to Enterprise. And joining us on the show today is Jared Chan, the CEO and co-founder of QuickCar.
So QuickCar is a marketplace for peer-to-peer car sharing. So if you like the Airbnb for cars, so what we do is we connect the underutilized vehicles to people who need them either on an ad hoc or occasional basis. So people might rent it for a day, a week, or even months, depending on their usage.
Over the next 30 minutes or so, we'll be talking to Jared about the Malaysian market and why it's right for a service like QuickCar, competition from ride-hailing players like Grab and MyCar, and if or not they operate in the same space, as well as the difference between QuickCar and regular car rental services. Where did the idea for QuickCar come from? Like, what made you think of a service like this?
So I think this was back when I was living in Australia. So I was living in Australia for more than 10 years. So every year or so, I'll be back for a couple of days, up to a week. And back then, I was hoping that, you know, if I could get a car to move around, that would be great, you know. So my dad was working, so he needed his car. And my mom, for some reason, refuses to let me use her car. You know, she's very particular about who uses it. So I looked around for choices, right? What do I have? And they were fairly limited. So the major car rental companies, they were really expensive. And the pickup arrangements were also very inflexible. And then, of course, there were those smaller players who do not have much visibility online, which means that they were pretty hard to locate. And their price were not that cheap either. And the thing is, I also couldn't comprehend with the rates, you know. So I was looking at it. A day of car rental is more expensive than staying a night in a hotel. So I was like, there has to be a better way to rent a car, right?
It didn't make any sense, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You know, a Myvi is 150 ringgit, but I can get a hotel room for 80 bucks a night. Mm-hmm. So it didn't make sense at all. So when I returned for good from Australia, I was catching up with my other co-founder, Arvin. So he was telling me he has a couple of spare cars. He's been renting it out and getting pretty decent returns, you know. So that's where it struck a chord. So that's where I said, hey, you know, there may be a pain point here that we can really address. So that's where, you know, QuickCar came along.
And I'm sure you studied the market before, like, you know, before embarking on something like this. So what gap in the market did you want to fill with QuickCar?
Sure. So I think, like I said, you know, QuickCar is a marketplace, you know, so we are the Airbnb for cars. So we are really trying to solve a two-sided problem here, right? So on one hand, we know that car rental is expensive. It's a very dated industry. And it's largely dominated by some key players, which means that, you know, it's not particularly consumer-friendly. Now, where we come from is beyond just tourists trying to rent a car for a couple of days and so on. Mm-hmm. So we are also looking at a bigger picture, right? So we are talking about people, the expats who can't get a car loan because of their visa status, the shoestring budget student who may not need to own a car but needs to drive occasionally. And of course, then there are those long weekend holidays. We have millions of those in Malaysia. Families with small cars wanting a bigger car to go on that road trip. Mm-hmm. And also people who actually genuinely needs a car for their either day-to-day or work basis, but can't afford to get one. So they can get a car on a monthly basis in that sense. And of course, on the other hand, we also know about the rise of cost of living. Yeah, that's been ongoing for years. Mm-hmm. And how people are stuck with multiple loans to pay. Yeah, and people are looking for a way to get a passive or second income. So what we really aim to do here is to build a community. Yeah, a community that is trustworthy, reliable, where all these underutilized vehicles can be connected and shared to people who need them on an ad hoc or very occasional basis.
So meaning that this also applies to people who don't want to own cars. Not just, you know, not just that they don't own cars now, but they don't want to own cars permanently?
Yes, for sure. I think the stigma of back in, I mean, I'm a bit of a much older guy now. Back in those days, you know, we were thinking that, you know, having a car is a status. Yeah, it's no longer the case now. You know, we are in a sharing economy era. You know, we share our property, we share our cars, we share everything that we can share and earn some money. So I think the stigma is gone. The younger generation no longer wants to own a car. A car is just a means to get you from point A to point B and for you to get your daily needs done through, you know, a means of having a vehicle.
Okay, so let's say there's a customer A. Okay, and he or she is trying to choose between regular car rentals and something like QuickCar. So how would you pitch Quick Car to them? Like what's on the Quick Car brochure?
Okay, so we have a couple of value proposition to our potential consumers, right? So the biggest difference is that our price range are much cheaper, you know, so we are anywhere from 30 to 60% cheaper. So we don't own any of these fleets. So they are privately owned cars. So meaning that the rates are much cheaper and much more reasonable for people to rent. The other thing is also we have users on our platform that rents a car at 7 a.m., 10 p.m., picking a car up at Bandar Utama, at Klang, and so on. So anywhere that's near and convenient to them, they can pick up the car. So and also on our platform, it also makes sense for you to rent long term. So you can we have daily rates, we have weekly rates, and also monthly rates. So meaning that if you rent on a traditional car rental company, usually a monthly rate is whatever the daily rate is times 30. Maybe they might give you a 10% discount. Still doesn't make sense for you to rent long term in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. How many cars do you have listed on your platform at the moment?
Currently, we have over 400 cars on our platform. So nice. We have 50 car types. Mm-hmm. So you can rent anything from, say, a Prado Myvi all the way to a Lamborghini.
And how has the response been like so far? Like you know, do you have any of those numbers?
Yep, sure. So the journey so far has been amazing. So 9 months in, our revenue is 3 times of when we first started.
Nice.
Our user base is at least 10 times when we first started. So the demand is clearly there. Yeah. So what we had from our user feedback from both sides is that the renters are really happy with our rates, you know, so it's unbeatable rates. So we are really disrupting the car rental industry, right, in terms of pricing. And owners are really happy also that they can earn additional income to cover their general expenses. So far, the response has been month on month, we've been having growth, double digit growth. And it's clearly validated the need for our existence, not just as a car rental service, but also for a car sharing option for people who do not want to own a car.
So with a service like this, you know, being completely online and all, where does your revenue come from? Like, how does Quick Car make money? There must be a cut that comes from the rental fee, right?
So currently it's fixed. So we take a commission from the owner, mm-hmm. and also we take a small cut from the renter. So very much like Airbnb, right? So there is a service fee for the renter, and also there is a profit sharing from with the owner. So that's where we take our commission at the moment. Now we are introducing new layers of revenue for owners. So owners who are responsive, who keeps their car clean, who rents out on a regular basis, we are looking at reducing the commission to entice them to actually, you know, rent out the car more often, and then keep your car cleaner, and also to be more responsive to messages when people message you about car rentals. So currently it's fixed, but we are looking towards a model where it's going to be scaled depending on the type of cars and also the response rates and the type of owners there are.
Do you mind me asking how much that, you know, what that fee is like?
Sure, so currently we take 25% cut from owner and a 5% service fee from renter.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Jared Chan. He is the CEO and co-founder of Quick Car, a car rental company that connects people who are looking to rent a car at an ad hoc basis with owners of underutilized cars that they would like to rent out for some extra cash. Stay tuned. We'll talk more about this Airbnb of car rentals when we come back. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
And we are back on Enterprise. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and joining us this morning is Jared Chan of Quick Car. And Quick Car is a car rental community and marketplace that wants to redefine the way car rentals work here in Malaysia and possibly even in other countries in this region in the very near future. Okay, so let's talk about quality control. Do you filter the cars that are listed on your platform? Like do they need to meet certain standards?
As an early stage startup, what we try to do here is to simplify the process to start off with. Yeah, so we want owners to be able to rent out their cars easily. So what we do is we have this definition of a roadworthy car. So we how we deem roadworthy is based on two criteria. One is that they have to be registered with JPJ, and two, they need to have a comprehensive insurance coverage. So that deems that the car is able to be driven on the road without any issues or hassles. Now, moving forward at a later stage, we will be introducing what we call endorsed cars. Okay, so we endorse cars. These cars will go for a certain number of point checks with our partner, for instance, to determine the mechanical and general condition of the car. So these cars that are endorsed will gain certain privileges. So for instance, the reduction in commission is one of those that those non-endorsed cars will get. So meaning that we try and get cars to be more, the quality control is there, that the cars that come on that are endorsed will be much better to drive than those that are not endorsed. And of course, we also have a rating system at the moment. So any owners as well as users that do not meet our rating system requirement will be without our system as well.
And how does that work, like the rating system? Like what are you looking for?
So currently, we look at a couple of things. We look at cleanliness, accuracy of the image, the message response in terms of inquiries and replies and so on, and the general experience dealing with the owner. So these are slightly different from what Airbnb does, but this is specific to the driving experience and also the rental experience.
Okay, let's say I'm an owner. And I want to get my car listed on listed for rent on Quikcar. So what do I do first? Like, can you walk us through that process?
So first, we are a mobile app. So we are available on both iOS and Android. So what you do is you download the app, you sign up, you either connect through your Facebook or your email verification, put in your phone number. Okay, off you go, you're in the system. Now, the next stage of verification, of course, is to make sure that you have the right identity. So your ICs, your driving license, and so on. Now, when you lease a car, you put in the basic details of your car type, age, and so on. And then you also upload your insurance cover note. Okay, so from there, we can verify whether you are the rightful owner of the car through the JPJ system. Mm-hmm. Okay, so once we have verified that you are the rightful owner, you have the authority to rent out your car, and then we will lease it up pretty much straight away. So pretty much usually within a day, your cars that you lease, if it's within office hours, you know, it'll be an hour or two. But if it's after hours, we are also working around the clock, so it may take 24 hours before the car gets verified.
So I want to ask about how car owners are insured, because, you know, let's say if I'm renting out my car, I want to make sure that it's safe, right?
Yep. So currently, Allianz is our insurance partner. Mm-hmm. So we make sure that we get a reputable global partner in that sense. So for renters, every renter is covered with what we call a 24/7 roadside assistance. So for instance, if you have a flat tire, Allianz will send someone out to assist with your tire change. If your car battery goes dead, you know, they'll send someone to jumpstart the car as well. Now, they also offer towing services if your car goes kaput. Free car replacement program in the event a car goes into a workshop and so on. And also personal accident coverage. So in case you get into an accident, you need to go for medical checkups or scans. These are all covered by Allianz as well. Now, in the event if there is a minor damage, currently the renter will cover the cost of repair. So, you know, we're talking about 1-200 ringgit minor damages and so on. And of course, in an incident of a more serious damage requiring insurance claim, the owner will have to claim their own insurance. Now, what happens then is Allianz will provide what we call a compassionate cover. Okay, up to 6,000 ringgit to cover the inconveniences caused depending on the circumstances of the car damage. So it's kind of covered in that sense through Allianz.
Do the owners get to choose like who rents their car?
Yes. So this is another big benefit, you know, compared to, you know, the idea of peer-to-peer car sharing is probably not groundbreaking. You know, probably it's been done over the last 10 years, but a lot of them are not done properly. So there are owners like, you know, my co-founder, his car was rented out. His car was not, he doesn't know who rents the car. So when it comes back, it gets trashed. Sometimes you get damages here and there. Whereas if you are on Quikcar, what you do is you get to vet who you want to rent out the car to. So if the final say is always with you, you can look at the profile, look at the rating and decide, yep, this car is worthy of my car to be rented out to. And you always have the final say. So no one will take on any of Quikcar's car without the owner's approval.
Okay, so they make the choices. It's not Quikcar or the team at Quikcar.
But we do have owners who have a spare car who, you know, generally just is interested in the car being rented out. They don't really care who gets the car and so on. So in that sense, Quikcar manages Quick Car manages those kind of requests as well.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So you can help them do that as well.
Yes, we can certainly help them do that.
Okay, so do you have restrictions for what can and cannot be done in the car? Because, you know, I'm just like thinking, let's say someone rents a car. They take it to Pahang in durian season. They buy some durian. They keep it in the car for 2 hours on the Karat Highway before they come back. And now your whole car smells of durian.
So I think what we have on the car, when someone looks at the car profile, they can see what the do's and don'ts. Okay, we stipulate them, you know, whether it's RON 95, RON 97, no pets, no smoking, no food, and so on. So those are stipulated. So now if a renter go against these do's and don'ts and then realize, for instance, the durian incident, what will happen is, in fact, we have an incident, you know, someone rented a car, had pet hair all over the car.
Oh, wow.
There's clearly no pets in the car. And of course, there was cleaning charges for those. So what we do is we facilitate the process and then we will recoup the money from the renter to repay the owner for those damages as well.
Right. How about rental charges? Like who decides how much to charge for rental of different cars? Like, is there like a market rate for like car rentals?
So at the moment we have an algorithm that determines the car price. So how we work on the car price is based on the car type and also the age of the car. Okay. So we price a car to ensure that the renter will get a car that is at least 30%, if not more, in terms of cheaper than the market rate. And as an owner, they earn enough within, say, 8 to 10 days of rental in a month to cover their loan repayment. So currently, we work on that model. So once we gather enough data to know when there are peaks, when there are off peaks, and so on, we will allow probably maybe what we call a scale, a low and high end, for owners to decide whether, you know, it's now off peak season. Do you want to drop your price a little to increase the demand of your car, or if it's really peak at the moment, maybe you can raise your price a little bit to cater for the demand high peak season as well.
So your calculator works the same way as those, you know, those car websites that lets you calculate your monthly repayment. So you basically base it off someone's repayment structure.
Yeah, well, that is one of the parameters. So we have a multiple parameters to put on. So because we can't just use one measure. So the AI can't take into account, like I say, the age of the car, the car type, you know, so the cars that are more expensive have a different algorithm calculation to the one that are cheaper and so on.
Stick around, more about car rentals, ride hailing, ride sharing, and how your underutilized car can make you some extra money when we come back. BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise on BFM 89.9. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and in the studio with me is Jared Chan. He's the CEO and co-founder of Quick Car, which is a platform. Quick Car is a platform that lets you list a car that you may not be using on, say, on the weekends, so that someone else can rent it and use it, and you can make some extra cash in the process. Think of it as the Airbnb of cars. Really interesting stuff. Who are your biggest competitors?
So at the moment in the market, of course, you have people like the SoCar and GoCar. Okay, so these guys, they are car sharing. Okay, but what they do is they own their fleets. Now, when you own your fleets, of course, there's pros and cons to both models, you know, owning your car versus peer-to-peer. So for us, we adopted the peer-to-peer model for a range of reasons. So one is we believe owning your fleets is really expensive. So capital expenditure in buying them, maintaining your fleets on an ongoing basis, and not to forget, cars are depreciating assets. Yeah, so you lose money on having a car itself. And scaling, we believe, could also be quite tough if you own your car. So every new market you go to, you require significant capital expenditure. And we also want to have every car available under the sun for people to rent. So when we are peer-to-peer, we can do that, right? So as I've mentioned, we have 50 car types. You know, we have Myvis, we have Lambos, we have Wellfire, we have Porsche, you know. We also have a Tesla as well. So you can, you know, rent a range of different cars. And last but not least, I think what we want is we really want to have a go at solving the car overpopulation problem. You know, with the peer-to-peer model, we can. So in Malaysia, 93% of households owns a car. You know, that puts us third in the world mm-hmm. for the most car per households. And there are also 45 million passenger vehicles in this region. Yeah, so that sits idle and parked for more than 20 hours a day. So imagine if you can get 200,000 people to share their car on our platform. Now, 200,000 is only 0.5% of cars that we already own. Yeah, so if people share the cars, we would have taken 2 million cars off the road. CO2 emission would have gone down by a whopping 10 million metric tons.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is equivalent to planting 245 million trees over 10 years. So if we can achieve that, we can really take a big step into reducing not just carbon footprint, but it also helps to ease the traffic congestions as well.
That is something that we need, especially in KL and stuff. Are ride-hailing services like Grab your competition? Like there's a space on your website that explains the difference between ride-hailing and ride-sharing. So are ride-hailing services also your competitors?
I believe they are crossover, for sure. So what Grab does, for instance, is point-to-point. So if I've got a specific place to pick up, to get on the car and then to achieve to arrive at another place, I would definitely take a Grab. Now, imagine if you are a tourist coming into Malaysia, you want to do 3 days in Malacca, 2 days in, say, Ipoh and so on, Grab might not be the best possible, most cost-effective option. So that's where we come into the picture. In fact, we've spoken to some traditional car rental companies as well. Over the last 5 to 7 years, when Grab and Uber are in the market, the short-term rental demand has continued to grow. So it goes to show that the target market are very distinctive, although there will be a slight crossover. But most people who wants a car, either on daily or weekly or monthly basis, would not be considering options of Grab and vice versa.
But in a way, right, I'm just like thinking, haven't companies like Grab made it easier for companies like Quick Car, you know, in a way, you know? I mean, they sort of introduced us to this, you know, this new mode of transport. They made us familiar with the concept of like short-term vehicles, right?
Oh, for sure. So I think people like Airbnb and Grab, what they've done is that they've done really well in introducing the fundamental of sharing economy. Yeah, so now people know that I can share my car, I can share my ride, I can share my home. So that has laid a very solid foundation for us to go into the market and tell people, look, you know, you've already shared your property, you are already sharing your rides with someone. Now there's an option for you to share your car either for a cheaper rate or earn some money if you're a car owner.
You must have had some challenges when starting Quick Car. Like, you know, what are they?
Sure. I think, like you say, you know, the starting point will always be the most challenging. So I think one of the things is, of course, is Malaysians obviously are not the most trusting people when it comes to strangers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is one of the issues that we have faced. And also there are those who are also very protective about their cars. Well, just like my mom, right? So she wouldn't even let her son drive her car, let alone strangers. So we do have these people, yeah. And of course, like I've mentioned, the Grab and Airbnb guys has helped in raising the awareness of sharing economy. But the concept of car sharing, when we first started, was still relatively unknown. So there's this really tough consumer education and market adoption period as well when we first started to get them onto the platform to either rent a car or to put up their cars for rental.
And what about challenges of like operating now? Like what are some of the, you know, the hurdles that you're trying to overcome?
Sure. So I think one of the things we do really well is we're very customer centric. Hmm. Yeah. So our app has probably evolved, I don't know how many times, you know, at least two or three times a month. Yeah. So based on consumer demand, the user needs and so on. So we have evolved a lot from when we first started. So I think one of the challenges is for us to continue, you know, listening to our consumers, hearing their feedback and understanding what's the issues. Like, for instance, when we first started our first ever rental, you know, so someone picked up a car, was supposed to return at 9 a.m, no news. So 12 p.m., still no news. And then we try and call. The phone was ringing, but no one picked up the phone. And then 4 p.m., the guy finally called back and said, "Hey, guys, I'm so sorry. My phone cracked." Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can't answer any calls and I don't know how to get to you and so on. So then instantly the next update the following week is we introduce an emergency contact. Yeah. So these are the kind of things we continue to evolve and get better, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the challenges is really to keep ourselves relevant, knowing that what we do here is really to serve the consumer. You know, we want to make sure that we offer rates that make sense to consumers. We offer a service that the consumer actually needs, and not just having an app there for, you know, for someone to use and that's it.
You mentioned getting people aware about Quikkar when you're just starting up the company. So how do you play with that, you know, like marketing? Like how do you drive people to Quikkar and to list their cars on Quikkar?
So I think when we first started, we're not Grab, we're not Uber, you know, we didn't have billions of war chests to go and advertise. Mm-hmm. So we had to be very creative and also looking at very cost-effective measures. So we're an internet company, so naturally we will use online digital strategies to attract our users. So we started obviously looking at Facebook campaigns, we look at Google AdWords, we look at some guerrilla marketing techniques as well on how we can target both users and owners. So most of our campaigns are actually done online. And because offline activities can be quite expensive, you know, if you want to go to a mall, you want to hire space and so on, you know, easily can cost you 20,000-30,000 just mm-hmm. for one event. So we try and be very cost effective in what we do. And so far it's been working really well for us. So we measure the correlation, right? So when we increase our ad spend, digital ad spend by you know, a certain percentage, we see the growing numbers. We see the growing numbers of users, transactions, so we can see the correlation in that sense. So we try, we want to be a company that can measure everything, not just from how well our ads are doing, but also consumer behavior, right? So if, let's say, during Balik Kampung, a lot of people need big cars, you know, we can see a stats, 70% of them are taking seven-seaters, then the next Balik Kampung period, we make sure that we have enough seven-seaters to cater for the demand and so on.
Let's talk about expansion. Where to next for the company? Like where do you see Quikkar in 5 years?
So I think there's a couple of things, right? So we want to be really good in what we're doing in Malaysia to start off with. You know, so the next 12 months is very much focused not just in Klang Valley, but also the key markets we talked about just now, the Penang, JB, Langkawi, and also in the East Malaysia side. So once we've mastered this domain, then we will be looking at regional. Within the next 3 years, we want to be a key regional player, you know, also focusing on key markets like Indonesia, Thailand, Philippines, and Vietnam mm-hmm. as our key market. I mean, the idea is that I think we are probably, I would say, you know, 10 years away from autonomous vehicle being in the market. So by then, we would hope that we will at least have 10 million users on the platform. Yeah. So we would then probably go back to car manufacturers, for instance, and say, look, instead of selling cars, there's no need to sell cars. Why don't you sell your miles? We have 10 million users for you to choose from. And people would then buy miles of your car. So cars, so you don't keep producing cars, right? So at the moment, we have this issue of overproduction of cars. Yeah. So yep. What's going to happen to these cars? That's now 50 years later, they become a junk, right? So instead of overproducing your cars, you become more efficient. So instead of doing 100,000 a month, you do 10,000 a month, but you still generate your revenue through your mile sales to these users. So then we are more cost effective in how we deal with wastage of metals and so on. And people will then use the car as and when it's needed, instead of buying one and then let it sit for 20 hours a day in your park or garage and so on.
Will you ever own your own fleet?
Yes, we won't disregard. We won't discount the need for that. So again, it's driven by our data. So if there is, if our numbers shows that, you know, there's a certain fleet that's particularly in demand, we would definitely go and say, okay, maybe we might own this fleet. And also, different markets have different different markets have different approach to it. So, for instance, in Hong Kong, you know, no one really wants to rent out their cars, but there's a lot of car parks in Hong Kong, and yet there are a lot of people who wants to drive a car who cannot afford a car. So, in those markets, for instance, we may be looking at owning our fleets there instead of doing a peer-to-peer model. So, we are not outright peer-to-peer. We will not discount the fact that we eventually will have some fleets.
You can check out quikkar.my, that's quikkar.my. If you are a car owner that wants to list your car for rent, or if you're looking for a car to rent on an ad hoc basis, they've got a lot to choose from. Also, stick around because we've got Her Vantage coming up in just a bit after some music and some messages. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj with Jared Chan, CEO and co-founder of Quikkar, only on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.